morning.
Good morning.
Trust you are doing well. There's only empty chairs here, so you can move forward. I really thank God for this wonderful time that Pastor gave me to share this word and give me this. God has given me this privilege to sing this word, and let us pray and look to the Lord in prayer and ask God that He would speak to us. Father Lord, we pray that You would speak to us this morning. Lord, we commit our lives into Your hands, and we ask You that Your word will come to us apart. Father, we are nothing but God, and we come before You, and we want You to fill us with Your word. We commit all of this into Your hands, and ask Holy Spirit to minister to us. In Jesus' name we pray. All of us, we know how to keep our valuable things protected. And we know where to keep it. We keep it in a place where we think it is very safe. And if we have gold and silver and money at home, then we will put a big lock. We do not want anyone to access into this box. And God also has His valuable things. He has hidden it. Do you know where? On earth. Why not? Where on earth? The word of God says, in a clay pot. And who is that clay pot? And why is He hidden it in that clay pot? So fragile. Let us read 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 12. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. So, what is a clay pot? I remember in our childhood we used to use a clay pot, small clay pot, and I have it here, to keep money. And in Hindi we call it gula. Do you remember that? Have you ever done that? This is a clay pot. Okay, how much it cost? 20 rupees, 10 rupees, 30 rupees. If I want to sell these at 1,000 rupees, who will buy this? You don't want to buy it. But if I put my gold ring here inside this, and now I want to sell it at 1,000 rupees, how many of you would like to buy it? Many. Why? It is not because you like the clay pot. It is because you like, or the value is what is inside the clay pot. So this clay pot has no value. It may look beautiful, but in fact this is fragile and it can crack easily, it can break easily. It has no value. But see, God is so gracious to us. Amen. Can you put the volume down a little bit? As the echo. So God is so gracious to give us this opportunity to put His valuable, His treasure in this clay pot. Why He has done this? To show the grace, show His grace to us. Many times we may not realize it, but you see, this is the grace we have received. The clay pot is so fragile, And why Paul is using this imagery, in the ancient days, the human body is, human body is compared to this clay pot. And if you go back to Genesis, this is very much true. When God created Adam and Eve, He created human being out of dust. And we have all the elements common with the dust. And Paul says, this is the clay pot that God has put its treasure in. This clay pot is very not important. It is temporary. It breaks easily. And if it is broken, you would not like to fix it. It will be thrown out and then be replaced. Let us think about our life, our existence, how God is so gracious to us. He has, when man sinned, he never said, God was not obligated to save human being, but it is by His grace. That's why the psalmist says in Psalm 8, if you say, he says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? Son of man that you care for him? It is very much too much, dear saints. Who are we that he cares for us? If we look at his creation, it is nothing but he wants to display his creation in us and through us. And then he, in Psalm 103, he says, Psalmist says, as father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He knows us. He knows that this is very important. Every time I go through certain problem or difficult time, I always say one word is, you know it, O God. That's all. If he knows, then enough. He knows me. And he knows how I'm created. In your houses, you have different type of vessels. And when you do the dishes, when you handle the steel one, that will be different than the you handle the glass one. You will not just throw it, because you know it is breakable. And this is what the psalmist is reminding us. Remember that we are dust. It says, as for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And his place knows him no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is for everlasting to everlasting. And those who fear him, and his righteousness to his children, his grace is everlasting, even though our life is short and temporary. He covered us with the eternal grace. He covered this weak pot with the eternal grace. Paul says, we are ordinary clay pot. He's not saying, I'm worthy of this treasure. He's not saying, I deserve this. But he says, it is the ministry that is given to us. It is the by grace God has given to us. And we see in verse 7 again, he says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Why has he put this treasure in us? It is not for ourselves. It is to be shared with others. We cannot keep it to ourselves. Paul says, I am given this ministry. God has given me this ministry. I am given this ministry to go forward. When there were people who accused Paul, and there was a Jerusalem council in 49 AD, and Paul had to go to Jerusalem, and the apostles were there, and there was a meeting, and they said, they agreed with Paul. Okay, Paul, you go up and preach to the Gentiles. Because they were restricting him not to preach to others, only to the Jews. And Paul understood. And in Ephesians 3, if you read, he said, this is a mystery that is revealed to me. 3:6, he says, what is the mystery? The Gentiles too are heir of the kingdom. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise God. The treasure is kept to be saved with others. The vessel is not much important in itself, but it is important, it is valuable because what it holds inside. Notice what Paul says here. He says, he kept it in a clay pot, not in a golden box, not in a bank, not in Swiss bank where many rich people have their account. He says, it is given to us. And he said, we must realize, why is he writing this to the Corinthians? He's asking them, he's reminding them, the church, we are given a ministry, and we cannot just keep quiet. We cannot just keep it to ourselves. And God has a purpose in keeping it in us. Dear church, if you read the Old Testament, you must be reading, you remember one story is there. When the Midianites attacked Israelites, and the door was, the city gate was closed. No one can go in, no one can go out. And there were lepers outside the gate. And there was no food, nothing was there. People were starving because the enemy was outside. And these four lepers, they decided to go to the enemy gate. So they thought, okay, we are going to die. Let's go there. If we get some food, we will survive. Otherwise, we will die. They will kill us. And when they went into the enemy camp, it was empty. God caused the enemy to be scared and leave the camp. And there were plenty of food. And these four lepers, they went and they had food. And then they realized, how can we just stop here? How can we not go and tell the people inside? They are starving. If we stop here, some mischief will come upon us tonight. Let's go. And they went and they shouted at the gate. The guard heard them. And then it was reported to the king, and the king said, there must be some conspiracy. But he sent some people to find out. And they found it was true. What my point is not the labor, my point is not here the Israelites or the Midianites. We can read and measure on that, but my point is these people were not selfish. They wanted to share it. They wanted to share with others so that they might also live. They might not die. They will not starve. How can we forget? How can we forget? As we have our brothers outside, as we have this treasure in us. We are so privileged people. Yes, there are trouble, there are difficult times, there are difficulties, there are persecutions. But yet, Paul says, I carry this. I carry this treasure. And second thing he says here, Paul says, God has put this treasure in me, in us, so that His power will be on display in this sweet vessel. And His glory will be on display. He will reveal His power and glory through these sweet vessels. We are hearing many things nowadays. Many WhatsApp messages are going around talking about what is happening in our country. But it should not stop us. Let's read this verse, what it says. Paul says, we are afflicted in every way. He doesn't say only one way. He says every way. Every way we are afflicted. And then he says, but not crushed. He says, perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. God has not forsaken us. Struck down, but not destroyed. Because this power that protects us. So that transcendent power, that means it is not an ordinary power, but it is beyond our understanding. That protects us. This one, I remember, we need to protect this one, keep it. We don't always put everything on this. It will break easily. And God knows that. Paul is not saying, oh, we are free, but he is saying, the apostles, everyone, they are afflicted in every way. They are perplexed. They are persecuted. They are struck down. But what is it? How can we ask? Paul, Still, how can you go? Carry on. You can go on with this. And Paul will answer us. He will say us. It is just because I carry the treasure. The God's power is able to protect me. Praise God. Yes, church. As long as we carry this treasure, as long as we go out to share this treasure, the power of God is with us to save us. Jesus did not send his disciples, go and preach the word. He said, you go. But he said, you go and I will go with you. Hallelujah. He said, I will go with you. I am with you. He's not just sending them out. This is what Paul is saying. Our strength comes from God's sustaining power. Paul had clearly understood his mission. He had clearly understood who God is. Many times we are very much scared. Very much scared. I remember when I travel, my mother tells me, how are you? Because I'm the only son. I have six sisters and I'm the only one. So my mother, my sisters, they love me. And my mother is, nowadays, she is very much concerned. So when I used to go to different places where, I don't want to mention it, but it's a dangerous place. Okay. Where the next life operates. And many times I have met people like that. And it's scary sometimes. But in my heart, I had only one thing. Lord, if you allow this, if you allow somebody to kill me or do anything, it will happen to me. Otherwise, no one can touch me. This was the assurance I always had. This is the assurance I always had. And Paul says, we are struck down, but we are struck down, but we are not destroyed. He says, our strength is coming from God. Because we carry the treasure. In 2 Corinthians 11, if we read these verses, how Paul is talking about his suffering, he says, 5 times I received from you the 40 letters minus 1. How many times? 40 letters, each time 40 letters, 39 to 40. 5 times he has received, he said. He says, it is in 2 Corinthians 11, 24 onwards, you will see that one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. How many times? 3 times. Once I was stoned. Once he was, you remember, in his first missionary journey, when he started in Lystra, he was stoned and they left him thinking that he is dead. And then he says, 3 times I was shipwrecked. I was happened to be in Malta. And I was standing on the seashore there in the Mediterranean Sea. I was looking at the water body. It was so scary. And I was thinking, how could Paul travel? How could he imagine to go into that huge water body? And when we went for sightseeing, then some people told me, okay, this is the place where Paul and his company, and they came when there was shipwreck. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea, constantly exposed to danger and often gone without. Yet, God has not given up. With perseverance, he has gone. He has gone on and on and on, preaching the word of God. It's really a challenge for us. It's really a great task for us. And then 2 Corinthians 12:9 onwards, he says, when he has some problem, we don't know, but he said, thorn in the flesh. And some scholars would say, okay, he has some physical problem. Some would say he has some problem with his hand, or some said maybe he was not able to see properly. Whatever it may be, but he was going through a tough time with some physical problem. And he said, there is thorn in my flesh, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times. And what did God answer? God said, God answered him, my grace is sufficient for you. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Dear church, I do not know what type of problem you may be going through. You may be going through tough time, you may be praying. And you are still having that problem. But what God says, in that problem, you may be having that, but my grace is available for you. I am with you. I will carry you. This is what Paul says. The strength was not himself. He always realized, I'm the clay, I'm just the clay. The strength comes from God. Because He had chosen us. He has chosen us. Paul says, Paul doesn't say believers will not have problem. Bible doesn't say believers will not have problem. We may have problem. We may have difficult time. We may have financial crisis. We may have sickness. But in that sickness, God is with us. When I lost my father, I was 12 years old. And that time, my family, my mother only knew the Lord. My mother came to know the Lord than my father. But after he came to the Lord, he after a few days he died. But he accepted the Lord. And there was some difficult time. And in my place, sorry for sharing this, but I don't want to put down people, but just to say with them how God raised me, not how I look at them. Our locality, even though my mother used to go to the church, my father was not allowed to bury it in the graveyard. Because they said he was not a believer. Because before he took baptism, he died. So he was not a believer. This was the argument. And there was some problem. There were so many disturbances. I was small. I could not do anything. And he was not allowed. But somehow they buried. I don't know what happened then. But in my heart, as I heard those things, there was bitterness in my heart. And I grew up with that bitterness. I said, there's no God. There's no God. And I was against any kind of faith or any kind of religion or spiritual thing. If anyone would come to me and say, I would just tell him, get out, don't tell me this. And the family, my mother and sisters would pray for me and they would tell me, they would keep on telling. So sometimes I used to go to church, and as soon as the church is over, I run. Because I never liked to be there. But God in His grace, He took hold of me. Praise God. I gave my life, and then I decided to come into full time ministry. I finished my Master in Divinity from SADC in Bangalore in 2002, and when I came back, the same thing again repeated. My uncle died. He was not a believer. Whenever I preached, he'd come to the church, but he did not take baptism, nothing. But every time I said the word of God, he said, yes, yes, he believes. I didn't know his heart. And he died. And I had this graveyard key with me. And then some people came and told me. Last, when your father died, people accused our church that we buried him there. What do you think? Your uncle is also not baptized, or he is not a believer. I gave the key back. I said, okay, I will take him to the cremation ground. I took him to the cremation ground. And I buried. No one objected. And that thing was long time in my heart. And again I prayed, Lord, I forgive those people. We may go through difficult time. Now I realize, there's nothing. If God is with us, whatever happens to us, why? Because God knows us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Bible doesn't tell us that we will not have problem. But Bible says, you will have problem. But God will save us. God is with us. And He will take care of us. In the time of Judges, there was a man, young man, very, very timid. He was very much scared. When the enemy
is to come and surprise them. Do you remember his name? Do you know his name? His name is Gideon. And I always laugh when I read his call. He was hiding in a white dress. And then the sentence of God came to him. He said, "Oh, mighty man of God, the valiant man. Mighty man? How come? So scared? He's timid? How can he be mighty?"
He may be looking around, who is there?
Mighty man. You. You are the gift. You are that mighty man. I'm calling you. And then God, you know the story. God raised him. And how many people were with him? 32,000. And these people seem to be okay, going out to fight. And they seem to be with Gideon. But then, there was a call. God said, "Hey, here, there are too many people. There are too many people. I don't want so many people." Gideon, he tells them, those who are scared, and they think they should go back. They should go back. And how many people left him? Immediately after the announcement, 22,000. Gideon must be looking at this 10,000 people and thinking, how can I go out to fight with this small group of people? How can I do that? God, I'm not going to do that. And then God said, "Hey Gideon, I think there are still too many people. I don't want this." Then you know, he took them to drink the water, and those who will bend down to drink water, and those who will lap like a dog. Separate them. And how many people left? Out of 10,000, you know? Only 300. Wow. How can I go and fight with these 300 people? Such a huge army. And God must be saying, "Gideon, you think you are going to fight? No, I am going to fight for you. Praise God. I am going to fight for you. You are weak. You have no strength." That's why in Psalm 20, so some trust in chariots, some in horses, but I trust in the Lord, mighty God. You know, when God gave Israel king, he said, "Your king should not do three things." What are those three things? He should not have many horses and chariots, and should not buy horses and chariots from Egypt. And secondly, he said, he should not accumulate too many gold and silver of the world. And another thing, he said, he should not have many wives. Too many wives. All these three things Solomon did. Okay, so he should not have so many chariots and horses, because the king will say, "Oh, I conquer, I have victory over the enemy with this power that I have, horses and chariots." And this is what God is saying here. "Gideon, I'm going to fight for you. You are not going to fight. Your stand will not go there." Dear church, and what Paul is saying here, when we say the gospel, when we go out with God's power, His glory is on display. Hallelujah. He is there to help us. It is His mission that He has given us. It is not us. As we are His children, it is our mission. Never give up. Persevere. With perseverance, we go on and praise the word of God. And finally, it says in 4:10-12, it says, "We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus." 4:10-12. "So that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you." Hallelujah. When I read this one, I could see here the crucified Christ and the resurrected Christ. So death is in the work, so life is in the work in you, he says. And here, Paul, notice the picture that Paul is giving us here.
is that we lose our lives so that Christ is always on display. He says, we embrace our weakness so you will have strength. We embrace the suffering that you will be comforted. We die so you will for the sake of the gospel. Why has he hidden this treasure in this clay pot? So that the life giving treasure will be saved with others, and others will get that life. We die to ourselves, our life, so Jesus is saved. And we see Paul say in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15:31, he said, I die every day. To the Romans he wrote, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Why? For your sake. For your sake. For the ministry that we are given, we are like sheep to be slaughtered. To Philippians he wrote that he was being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith. The drink offering. You know the drink offering? What is the drink offering? The drink offering is poured on the fire or on the dry ground and never to be collected again or get it back. That's the drink offering. And Paul says, I have given my life completely for the sake of the gospel, so that you may have life. So he says, we are mistreated, beaten, and we are dying so that others will receive life. Dear church, being a Christian is a sacrifice of self. Christ died that we might live. We die so that others might live. Christ died that we might live. We die now, we suffer now, so that others might live. This is the ministry given to us. And Paul is telling this to the Corinthians, to the church, so that church will take this treasure and share it with others, that life-giving treasure. In 2 Corinthians 12:19, he has written this. Why he has written, he says, for upbuilding of the church. I'm not writing this to give you some information. I'm not writing this to tell you how I feel, but for the upbuilding of the church. Dear church, the clay doesn't draw any attention. It doesn't attract, but the treasure inside. As we see here, we are the clay. We are not going to draw attention of people towards us, but the treasure that is in us. The treasure that is in us. May that we are very much concerned about this clay and we discard, we reject the treasure. But remember, if we value the treasure, God will protect the clay. God will take care of this clay. And no one will touch it. Paul in Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. No longer I live, but Christ lives in me. Here his focus is Christ and not himself. So Christ lives in me. In Philippians he says, I have many things to brag about. I have achieved many things in terms of in worldly point of view. But what he says, I consider it as loss. This will not take me to heaven. This might give me a high position in this world. Sometimes I used to discuss with my friend when he said, hey, he's a big sort. So I asked one of my friends, well, what do you mean by big sort? I cannot understand this. I'm talking about he has so much money, or he's a nice person, or he's a godly person, or he's... Oh, what is that? What big sort? The money makes somebody big or somebody small? Then that is not true. The world always evaluates people on the basis of what he possesses, what he has. That's why the people looked at Jesus and said, hey, isn't he the son of that carpenter? What they wanted to say? Oh, you remember the carpenter? In the social strategies, and if you see, there's a low category economically. Oh, his brothers are with us. Oh, he is that man. Okay.
That means there is no value. That is how bold you are with. That is how bold it is. In Colossians, Paul said, 3:4, he said, we suffered with him, we have died with him, our life is dead in him. So when he appears, we will also appear with him in glory. That means we will see his glory. If we have died with him, then we will also share his glory. Wow. He shared his death, share his glory. Praise God. The church, beloved, says death and share his glory. That's what it says. Says, I've been crucified with Christ. No longer I live, but Christ lives in me. In John 12:24, he says, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Unless it dies, it will not produce much grain. This is what the word of God says. Jesus died. And one will always, everything in the kingdom, 12 disciples, they reached out and you see. Because God's promise was there. Galatians 3, in chapter 3, if I correctly remember it, it is in 16 or 69. So I forgot that. So he says, through faith, what happens? We are the heirs. We are the children of Abraham. God had promised Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. He said, your children will be like numerous. Look at the sky. He made a covenant on that day. Look at the sky. Can you count? You can't count. So your descendants will be. And today, these 12 disciples, they went out and they preached and you see, numerous. We are to be children of God. Children of God. And children of Abraham. Dear church, we are the clay, we must remember all the time. We are weak, we must remember. We are fragile, we are temporary, we crack easily. But still, this grace is available for us. Secondly, we see what we learn. We see God has chosen this instrument to share his treasure with others, to go out to share the gospel, to go out to share the life-giving word with us, others. And this is a task given to us. And his power is available for us. And now God wants to reveal his power, his glory through this blessing. We have this God. And finally, our death will also glorify God. Our suffering glorify God. When we are persecuted, the life is gone out to people. Many people went to certain places as a missionary. They didn't see anything during their lifetime, but when they were killed or they died, after that, their churches come up because that seed was the sown there. And today, we have this challenge to go out and say the word. Because God says, you're the clay, you're weak, but I'm powerful. You have no power, but I have power. Because I have put my treasure in you. Let us close our eyes and ask God to strengthen us, to help us. And say, Lord, I'm just a clay pot. And I trust in you, O God, you to use me. Thank you, Jesus. Father, Lord, yes, many times we feel like giving up. We feel like no hope, hopeless, but there is hope in God. When we feel like, Lord, giving up, we pray that you give us strength to hold on to you. Father, we will not be knocked out, even though we are knocked down. Father, we commit all of us in your hands. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for protecting us. Thank you, Lord, for protecting this weak vessel. Thank you, Lord, that you are not obligated to save us, but you show your grace. Thank you. We commit all this in your hands. Jesus, amen. Amen. God bless you.